Hello.
Oh my goodness, it's time for the Create Podcast.
Let's play.
I'm Kristen Hinge.
I'm Natalie Roy.
And we are so excited to talk about holistic tools for the artist.
Yes, because we're all artists, really, and we all have holistic tools inside of us.
Ooh,
so it's so fun.
I want to play with all of them.
So tonight at Create, we actually did a continuance of the conversation that we had last week, which was a talk about sex and creativity. We talked last week a lot about how sex relates to our creative center within our energetic anatomy. And it was really fascinating. I think what we noticed last week is a lot of the conditioned beliefs around sex and sexual energy and expression, what's okay, what's not okay, what blocks in that area and contractions in that area were really discussed last week and really unearthed. And then this week it was so fascinating because it was an opportunity, once we had really discussed all that and laid that out on the table, it was really an opportunity for everyone to say, so now that I know what the stories were, now what's the truth? Now what wants to emerge and expand? How do I want to express my creativity, myself, through my sexual energy? And we actually talked a lot about Michael Skye and his book Breathing tonight, and he talks about sex being the sum of our sensory experience or our emotional awareness for other living beings. So how everything can be a sexual experience when we get rid of the old story and create this new story about how sexual energy is truly just this urge, this desire to create and to be immersed with something or someone else.
Yes, and it was so fascinating because tonight there was such a playful, fun energy in the room. And I think that's what you and I thought last week was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And then we opened up the dialogue and it was like deep and intense and everyone had questions, everyone wanted to talk. And then tonight was so fun and playful, but people were in rapt attention.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was such a different energy in the room. And I felt like tonight's conversation really centered around, if you already are sexual energy, you already are sex on fire. You know, we often think that, like, in order to be sexually active, I need a willing partner, you know? But we talked, you know, a lot about Michael Skye's work and the idea of being sexually active by being in exchange with the world, by using your sexuality in terms of what it's like when you walk outside, when you look at the weather, when you see a wonderful person. Anytime that you're in an exchange or a flow, there's a sexual current that moves through your body. There's that Shakti energy, and that's what makes us become alive. And that is why we love to be here on this planet. It's like when you're creating art, you know that thing when you, like, rush off stage or you finish, you know, they call cut, and everything in your body is just pulsing and radiating and you feel so alive? That's that Shakti creative energy. That's that sexual energy. And that we get to have, we actually, it's inside of us and we can activate that at any time.
Mm-hmm.
And that often when we find ourselves feeling like sluggish or bored or like, it's because what has happened is we've gotten out of communication with the world on that energetic level, and we've gotten stuck in our mind.
Mm.
So we talked tonight about how internal blocks keep that energy from flowing.
And actually how the energy of an orgasm, and we joked about how can your whole life be an orgasm.
You did a great orgasm in class.
I really went through the whole process. It was amazing.
It was like Meg Ryan in Create.
Life should be.
But we talked
life
about
be.
Julie Henderson had this quote, and she talked about what is an orgasm, and it's a spontaneous distribution of energy. And so really, the act of an orgasm is wherever there is energy that we surrender to that energy moving to a different place, to being a different thing. So really, the creative process is the thing that happens as a result of an orgasm, in the same way that creation sort of happened as the spark of an idea. So it's almost like the orgasm is the thing that sets the manifestation into motion.
Yeah.
So we just have to look in our lives of where is there energy that's not moving? Where is there something in me that, whether it's because I'm afraid, whether I'm clinging to something that's good, so I'm too scared to go after what's great because I don't want to move that energy, or I feel stuck, or something in me feels stuck, then it's almost like cultivating that idea of surrendering to that energy moving, so that the movement of that energy, rather than being the painful thing that we're scared to experience, like if I just let this go, it's gonna hurt so much. What if the surrendering of the energy is orgasmic, and on the other side is the creation that we're longing for?
Yes, it's almost like our internal blocks. That's what's keeping the real orgasmic life from happening.
Mm-hmm.
It's that part in us that is unwilling to surrender is where we won't let it's I want to say it's like the universe. It's like divine love is constantly trying to penetrate us.
Mm-hmm.
And we are the ones that are the create the blocks.
And we get tight.
We get
and
tight.
And we resist.
And so
we hold on too tight.
We won't let that penetration of divine love happen in our lives. I know. I keep saying it. But
Candy,
it's true. It's
laughing.
True. Life is always
right.
trying to love us.
Right. Right.
And
mm-hmm.
and we get ourselves in resistance to that love.
Ladies. Describe this. It comes with my tight mind.
Oh, please tell me what comes to your mind.
I promise it's PG-13.
Oh, come on.
What comes to my mind is like life is constant motion.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And it's constantly changing. Mm-hmm. And where we make the mistake is where we try to keep things the same and hold on to it being that instead of saying, I expect it to be great at every step of the way. So why would I hold on to this little bit when I could have more greatness?
Yes.
Going forward.
What's so interesting, too, is that sparked in me when you were describing that is emotion is energy in motion.
Mm.
So when we experience emotion, that is energy moving through us from one place through a different manifestation within us. And our emotional body is in the second chakra. So again, it's like this just this interwoven, incredible conversation that where we will find ourselves blocked in our sexual energy is just an opportunity for us to say, my sexual energy is not different than my emotional energy, than my joy energy, than my rage energy, than my whatever energy we have inside of us. The compartmentalization of it is what keeps us blocked. It keeps the energy from flowing, the emotions, the energy in motion from moving. So if we can just say, I am all of those things, all of those things want to express through me, I am the vehicle that they're expressing through, I can't wait to see what's going to happen.
No. It makes me think of, you know, when we talk about emotion as like energy in motion, that we are so afraid of change.
Mm.
And like the clinging you talked about is like anytime we get something, we're like, that feels good. I'm going to hold on to it so tight.
Mm.
But yet we all crave and desire movement in our life.
Yeah.
We all want to be advancing. We all want to be evolving. And yet we cling, you know, and that's just fear that keeps us,
gripping
and holding on too tight. It makes me think of how at the heart of it all, we don't really trust that life loves us, right? That's what's like the underlying fear, because maybe we could be, and like we talked about tonight, continual orgasm, if we really believed that life was delivering one after another after another.
Because how often do we have the experience of, you booked the job, you're going to be on set, but you actually spend your day on set not present, not enjoying it, because you're thinking, this might be, might not be here tomorrow. It's not going to last. When's the next day on set? It could be 6 months from now. So we rob ourselves from actually letting the energy move through us and actually experience it because we're so scared that we'll never get it again.
Oh, we're such sweet babies.
We really are.
You know, we really just get ourselves in such deep fear places.
When everything's right here.
Everything's right here, right now, in the present. So if we can, like we talked about tonight, come to the present, get deep into our senses in the present, realize that right now in the present, a banquet has been set before us. Enjoy the banquet in whatever form it comes.
Mm-hmm.
And realize that it's like the banquet table never runs out. You can walk room after room after room, and there's still plenty.
There's more.
There's always more.
Now, this is good But how can we take this and put it in like practical terms when we're going into an audition? It's that energy of and blocking or I had it organized this way. This is this is the beat I'm going to jump to the right. This is the beat I'm going to look to the left.
Well, you know, it's so funny. It's like you do your homework and then you throw it away, right? Like I feel like that for actors, and I also feel like that for me as a director. I have to do my homework and then totally throw it away and be totally present. So as an actor, you break down the scene, you figure out what your character wants, you know your motivation, you build your life, and then you get in the room and you look in the eyes of your reader and something new is going to happen. And in this fresh moment is when spirit arrives. And with it will be presence that we had no idea of. Like you might look at your reader and it reminds you of your last love and all of a sudden there's new emotion. Or for whatever reason, someone in the room reminds you of your father, or, you know, it's cold, or it's really isolating, you feel distant, so you decide to incorporate that energy.
Yeah.
But if we really believe that life was always loving us and always giving us presence, then we would be willing to incorporate whatever comes.
Those changes that appear.
Right, the things that we can't predict or control, because that's what we're trying to do all the time, especially making art. Oh, baby, could I talk about this one? We're always trying to control it and have it be what we want it to be. But if life is always loving us, then there's actually something that we're being given, if we will be open to it, that's better.
Because all the plans that we made leading up to the audition is now stagnant energy. And if we actually are committed to letting the orgasm happen, then we have to be committed to the energy being in motion. The energy can only move from a place of present stimulus. I can't think about how good something felt yesterday and it can get me off. It's not gonna happen.
That's not even gonna happen. In a scene. Like, let's say you get that high in the scene, like where you're connected to someone and you're like, I wanna recreate that. Like, that's another take. I have to recreate that.
But there's a new stimulus. There's a new thing happening in front of you. There's a new orgasm. There's a new life force. There's a new energy in motion. But if we are not in the present place to receive it and to open to it, then it's always going to be stagnant energy.
It reminds me of something I heard about Meryl Streep and how people, I mean, obviously people always love working with her. And there's a movie that she's in where there's a dinner table, and literally around the dinner table, they said every take, she was so present in every moment that every take, they said they felt the reverberation of her energy just take over the entire dinner, so that every scene was new. And, I mean, that's just beautiful. And but we, I think that even myself, I don't allow that to happen all the time.
Yeah, I think it's our number one thing. We're scared it's not going to be good.
Yeah.
We had a moment in rehearsal where we felt like it was good. So rather than trusting ourselves, trusting the instrument, trusting the emotions, allowing the moment to give us everything we need, knowing that it's not really about us. Yeah. It's really about serving a story, serving a point of view, serving the present moment. If we can surrender to that in the same way, when you're busy getting it on with someone, if you are making it all about how do I feel, what's going on with me, what's going on with me over here, what's happening to me right now, it's not really going to allow for the experience. When you make it about the collaboration of me with you, create something I could have never created on my own, that couldn't happen in a rehearsal room by yourself running lines.
And isn't that happening now? Aren't those thoughts that come as distractions? Let's say when you are making love, you're like, oh, how's my hair? How does my leg look right now? Those are just distractions to take you away from enjoying the connection and what you're doing in this moment, right?
Yeah, that's
so really, as actors, our only job is to say, where did I go? Come back.
Yeah.
And where did I go? Come back.
And in that moment, so when you're making love with someone and you know that energy is passing through you, you really are just serving that energy. In the same way, when you're making art, you're just serving that energy. And I love when you said it's not about you, right? So I think if we can remember at any time during our day, at any time during our life, that it is about letting go of our own personal agenda and letting something pass through us that is actually here to give us a really beautiful gift.
And noticing that when we do that, we feel the most sensation. We get the most benefit. We are in rapture. We are in pleasure.
Yes. The orgasm gets bigger.
It takes us not clinging to it to allow the opening for it to happen.
Yes, that's it. It's so funny. I was telling Natalie that You know, in working on this project this week, I keep thinking about this. There's a quote that Elizabeth Gilbert carries, and I forgot who she said it was by, but there's a line in it about having no cherished outcomes.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And I was like, that has really been my mantra this week as I've been creating, is I can be totally at peace when I have no cherished outcomes.
Yeah. It's tough to think of what you want it to look like and how it should look like. Yeah. It blocks you again from being so remarkable and amazing at what you do when you're like, oh, but how is this gonna, how are people gonna receive this?
How are the results?
If you think about it, it came to you in the first place, seemingly out of nowhere.
Right. Yeah.
Like if you're a writer, all of a sudden an idea is there.
Yep. Right.
It's not your idea.
Yes.
Ooh. It appeared.
Yeah.
And so don't we agree that the manifestation of it will manifest the same way it did.
Yes.
Not through us controlling it, but through us being available to it.
Yes. Being available. Yes. And that's the same thing as a relationship, right? In a relationship, it's like when you have no cherished outcomes, when you don't have an idea of how you think it needs to turn out, is when you can be available to something that's greater than you could have ever conceived.
In the Bhagavad Gita, which is an ancient yogic text that's very famous, tells the story of the Atman, which is like us, having a conversation with their divine source. And they're saying, you know, I'm having all these problems being a human, and what do I do about it? And one of the sort of advice that is given to him is, divine says, you're entitled to your actions. You're just not entitled to the fruits of those actions.
Nope.
Your job is to show up. And show up again, and show up again, and show up again. You're just, you don't have any control or any say on where that leads.
Yeah.
And so if you can be a servant to that art, a servant to pleasure, a servant to joy, to bliss, to sensory experience of nature and life, and looking into beautiful people's eyes and conversation and connection, if you can just be a servant to that, trust, the results are already taken care of.
Yes.
Now, this reminds me a lot of when I have spiritual talks with people, they're like, that's great, but how do we apply it to this?
Yeah.
Right.
So an example of that is when you go meet a casting director now, I've learned, I just have fun. And they ask why you're here. I'm like, I'm here to learn, but to have fun. Like, that's really why. And I've had more fun in releasing, what are they going to say about me? Are they going to call me in the room? So a lot of actors that are meeting all these casting directors are like, oh, but I don't get called in, and I've seen like six of them. Oh, I'm here to meet you because I know you're casting this and I want to be on that. And it's like, ooh, you can sense that they're holding on to something in that moment that's, you know.
My favorite way to approach those classes, because I do a lot of those classes, I just find no matter where you are in your journey, you're going to learn something new. I try to make it less about what I'm there to learn from the casting director and more about what I'm there to learn from the 12 other people in class. So if I can sit there and by the end of the session have 12 bullet points, one for each person, all different ages, all different stages of their journey, some like my type, some totally different, but what is a little nugget that I picked up from watching and observing, being an observer of humanity? Because isn't my job as an actor to understand human beings?
That's so beautiful.
I can understand how, and maybe the thing I learned from them isn't about acting. Maybe the thing I learned from them is how they responded to perceived criticism.
Yeah.
And then that's something I can observe about humanity. So now I have 12 new tools in my toolbox for the next time I have an audition and it's someone who doesn't take feedback well. It's like, I just watched that. I know exactly what that looks like. Now where can I find that in me? So when I really get curious and explore and make it about my community and what I can truly show up and learn as a student to their lives, then it actually transforms my experience. And then it's like, oh yeah, the casting director's there. And then of course, when you're not looking, the casting director calls you in.
Beautiful. You heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen.
So ladies, how about some questions?
We've
had some wonderful people in our community ask us a question via social media. So some of these questions, so we have at Michaela Grant, and she asked, what are your favorite games to play to keep your vibration and mood light and fun?
Ooh.
I know, right?
There's so many games.
I know one that I love to do is like when I walk down the street, I love to imagine my heart having energy, positive energy that I can shoot into the heart of the people that I pass. Mm-hmm. So as I pass them on the street or I pass them on the subway, like they don't even know what's happening, mm-hmm. yeah. but I can inject them with love.
I love playing the game beautiful. Of surprise miracles, where I can, you know, go buy 5 lotto tickets and then like put them underneath like the windshield wiper of someone's car or, you know, like the person who's like really stressed out at Starbucks, you can kind of slip it to them, you know, like just those surprise miracles. The other one I like to do is I like to collect change. So when I find change on the street, oh, I'm so excited. I collect all the change and then I'll get like $200 or $300 by, you know, year's end. And then I just find someone to anonymously gift this big change jar to. And just say, you know, like, every little bit of what you're doing in this world counts. Aww. It all adds up.
Oh, those are such fun games.
Oh, my
Aren't
God.
They?
Maybe and our listeners should play them and let us know how.
Yes. No. And the other fun thing when we were writing our book that we did a lot is to, you know, when you're in, like, really creative overdrive, like, really learning lines or really stuck in one area, is we honestly attribute a 2-minute dance party so much joy and affection. You just get up, you put on a song, you just shake it all out of your body. And it's amazing how clear you get in that 2 minutes.
I love that one so much. And also because when you get in your mind for so long, all of a sudden you stop being connected to your body. I also, you know, we talked about it a little bit tonight about looking at everyone like they're your beloved. I love to do that. And I love to do it like when I go in to buy milk. Like,
you know what I mean? I've seen you do it at Starbucks.
Starbucks is one of my favorite places to practice
it. I've seen you change lives at Starbucks, Kristen. Mm-hmm.
It's so funny, the intention of, if you just, the person who's meeting you, all of a sudden you focus on them as if they're the person that you can't wait to see all day. And it doesn't only change them, it changes you.
Yeah. I was going to say, I know you must be doing that because every time we're together, you are so present.
Yes.
It's like, and I'm listening to you. I'm looking at you. What's going on? Talk to me. Mm-hmm. You talk through your eyes when you're talking to someone.
They shine.
And it's like observing, listening. Okay, then I'll speak.
Yeah. And imagine every if you're time. Practicing that just in your daily life. What is that going to do to your audition?
Oh, yeah.
Like, how are you going to show up if you're just in the practice of extreme presence and giving and self-awareness, not through the lens of self-consciousness? If you're actually practicing that on the regular, what is going to happen when you show up at a CD office, when you show up at a workshop, when you show up on set? It's incredible.
It's transformative, I think, was what it is. And I was telling Natalie on our way here, there's something I've been playing with this week, because I'm directing something, and as you direct something, you're going to have challenges, and you're going to have things that are, you know, oh, this is stretching me. And is being mindful of seeing the things that I would want to say, oh, I wish this isn't here, and looking for why I'm so glad it's here. Mm. You know? So the thing that seems like a problem or an issue or a big hassle I don't want to deal with, go, ooh, why am I the luckiest girl that this is here?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So what eyes could I use to see this thing in a different way and see it as a blessing? And I've been working on doing that in my journal in the morning, of just turning it around, because I can see the part of me that wants to go immediately to, like, bitching about something internally.
It's so easy.
Right?
So especially, it's habitual.
Especially even, like, in my journals, I'm, like, you know, writing it down. It's just me and the paper and God, you know? And I can see the part of me that wants to make it a problem and then say, okay, hold on. If I was going to look at this without having judgments, with an open mind, and how might that be the portal to actually everything I really need in this moment?
Because the reason it's important is if we look at the outer world with a judgmental, critical mind, then it goes without saying that that is where our habit becomes. And so all we will do with ourselves is look at ourselves with a judgmental, critical mind. As we practice seeing everything in the outer world as a gift, an opportunity, something to be curious about, something to love, something to welcome, then everything that comes up inside of ourselves, we stop having judgment of, this is the good part of me, this is the bad part of me, this is the part I like, this is the part I dislike, and we start looking at everything inside of us with that same lens. And that's why it is important, because it does transform your outer world by transforming your inner world.
Oh, and it's not easy to do when you start, right?
Something
and you're like, you're such a wonderful person, but you don't know everything else. And you start to practice. I do that when I drive now. Mm-hmm. If I get cut off, I'm like, have a good day. And I just keep going, and I'm like, it's okay, let it go. It's not personal. It's not personal. Because it's you will lose your mind with the things that go on outside that you can't control.
So much of the time, we think that things that happen in the world are personal. Yeah. We actually talked about this tonight. There are days when you stand outside in the street and a cab rushes by and you get splashed by a puddle.
Oof.
And you think, life isn't fair. Mm-hmm. Why did this happen
Why
to
me? Why
does
this always happen
this
to me?
This always happens to me. What's wrong? Okay. We forget about the 20 other days we stood on the same corner and did not get splashed by the car.
I laugh because we make that such a drama.
It's such a drama. And it means so much. It has this story, right? And it's only the story that comes from, like, you know, your other stories, and you mentioned this, Natalie, today, where it was like, you know, all it is just your reaction to those stories when it could just be what it is.
Yeah, that, you know, positive psychology says that something has to be a habit before it can become an issue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And oftentimes the things that we think have hurt us or are problematic to us are actually just events.
Yeah.
It's an event that happened. So there's an event of us doing this podcast. Then there's an event of someone hurting your feelings.
Yep.
Then there's the event of getting splashed by the cab.
Yep.
They're all events. And then we create stories about the events. The event is not lived past the moment it lived in. The story lives on and on and on. So the habit is the retelling of the trauma of the story. The trauma itself has no impact on us.
That's huge. And
that's why a lot of people's like the spiritual transformations that can happen in people's lives happen when they decide to tell a different story and to look back on their past and rewrite the story of their past through a different lens.
Yeah.
So it's like when you have a parent and you've made a very strong story against them and all of a sudden one day you either learn new information about them or you decide to see them with a different set of eyes or open your heart to forgiveness, and you rewrite the past, and in that you rewrite your story and how that changes your present.
And wouldn't we rather just create more positive habits anyway?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So guys, I mean, so many questions that I'd love, you know, but I think it's time maybe to ask the question that ended up being
the winner
of our social media contest. So thank you everyone for submitting, and you know, there were so many, it was so difficult to choose. But this is the question, and the question and winner is from Jenny_Rich at Twitter and Instagram.
Jenny!
So thank you, Jenny, for this little amazing question. And the question is, sometimes receiving good things causes discomfort, fear, and then blocks. And how do you welcome the good?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think what's really fun is that, Jenny, you just received something.
Mm-hmm.
You just received a spot in the sold-out class of how to relate to industry and casting directors and your relationship with that.
Yes.
So I think that the first thing is just to notice all of the feelings that come up around that. Do you feel, why me? Mm. Do you feel maybe it should have been someone else? Do you feel grateful? Do you feel excited? Do you feel intimidated? And notice that there's no should for any of those feelings, that those are all just how you feel, and you can welcome them all. And then deep down inside yourself, ask yourself, what created the question in you? What made you want to step forward and enter into this contest? And that piece of you that wanted to put themselves out there in that way is the piece of you that knows how deserving they are.
And there are a lot of steps, Jenny. You did a lot, all those steps, so you wanted it. You went for it.
Yeah.
It's so funny that receiving good is really about, I think, first noticing that we're always being given good. It's always here. It's in the face of Candy. It's in the love of Michelle. It's in the incredible friendship of Natalie. Good is something that is constantly happening in my life. And every time I turn around, I can notice more and more good. And when I develop my relationship with good and get used to good by saying that it's always happening, then I can allow bigger and bigger good. Because I think what happens sometimes is if something happens that we would consider great or miraculous or like bigger than our threshold of good is, that's when we want to, sometimes we might sabotage it or feel like we can't hold on to it because it is bigger than the good that we have allowed in our lives or that we think that we can hold. So by noticing the good that's happening all the time, we are opening ourselves up to be bigger and bigger, like receptacles of good, right?
It's almost like when you're in the first grade and someone says, you're so smart, you get to go to the ninth grade. We're going to freak out. But if we notice we went to first and then second and then third and then fourth, then by the time we get to ninth, we're going to be like, I'm ready for ninth.
Yeah.
So it's really just the awareness of we have come so far. We do so much. We are artists. We are so brave. It takes so much to show up every day and be like, I am an artist and I'm going to stand for that. Even that alone is such an opening for good to come your way. So if we can start to notice where it's already arriving.
And celebrating
and
that.
And celebrating
it. Celebrate that joy along our journey.
Yeah. Every step of the way.
That's right.
Every podcast.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Every week.
Every week.
Have a glass of wine, maybe.
That's right.
Yes, maybe.
That is right. Oh, thank you,
this
ladies.
This was awesome. Thank you for the conversation, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for the questions. It is so amazing for us to be continually connected to the community and know what you want to know about so that we can ask those questions inside our own lives.
Yeah. And please keep asking. Where our Twitter and our Instagram handle is @createplaygroup. Feel free to tag us on that, hashtag AskCreate Playgroup, all of it. We check them all, and we love getting feedback from you guys.
Yeah, it's the best.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you, Candy. Thank you, Michelle.
Thank you, ladies.
Let's play.
Thanks, Kristen.
Thanks, Natalie.
Again.
Let's play next time.
Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
Ciao.
If you want to know about the Create Workshop Series, you can go to
www.thecreateseries.com.
And if you want to know more about us, you can go to kristenhenge.com or
natalieroy.com.
And if you want to come to Create, you can go to
the Actors Green Room in New York City. And it is Sunday nights from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. and Tuesdays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m.
And their website is www.theactorsgreenroom.com. And you can buy Create on demand if you don't live in New York City.
Woohoo!